भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स बुद्धं धम्मं संघं नमस्सामि. Okay, so this evening is our observance night, and still at Casa Serena. Dhamma Hall is taking a while to finish, sort of. In our practice, I think one of the things that's important to be attending to is how do we foster insight? How do we what do we pay attention to in order to really understand the nature of the Dhamma, and on a, say, as a general and overall, in a general or overall basis, and of course we need to be cultivating the Eightfold Path, right view, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. But and it's important to be having all those things in balance, in the sense the aspects of sila, samadhi, panya, of virtue, of concentration, of wisdom. But given that we're paying attention to those, all of those aspects, really attending to the cultivation of and stability of our precepts, our training, our virtue, mindfulness and tranquility, our being attended to aspects of wisdom are being reflected on and investigated, then it's important to take a particular theme for investigation and seeing how it applies to different aspects of the training, and seeing how it integrates with the kind of the internal world and the external world. So like one of the reflections that is always, it's always helped me, and I offer it as an example, and different aspects of the Dhamma will affect different people in different ways, so it's important to experiment and see what applies to oneself or what has some meaning to oneself. But for me, one of the things that I've always found useful is just reflecting on elements. It's one of the satipatthana, the foundations of mindfulness, and reflecting on the body. It comes up in many, many different discourses of the Buddhas. And it's also something that is close to hand, in that they, when the, because they, whether it's the internal world of our own bodies or the world around us, then this aspects of the that it's all composed of the four elements is, and that's how it works. So that to be reflecting on these four elements. And it's also quite simple, it's quite basic. And when the Buddha talks about the four primary elements, or dhatu, I can't remember what Ajahn Jeff translates it as. He usually has good sort of relevant alternative translations. They're actually properties. Say the four primary properties, like the property of solidity. And when we say the earth element, we're thinking of the property of solidity. The water element, the property of fluidity. The fire element, and the property of heat or lack of heat. And the air element, the property of extension or contraction. So that these are properties that we can be paying attention to in our experience. This is when we're sitting, meditation. What do we experience? The experience is one of, say, if we're paying attention to the breath, we experience the property of expansion and contraction of the, say, of the breath, or paying attention to the abdomen, paying attention to the tip of the nose, and there's the movement of the air element, a sensation, that one of passing through the tip of the nose. So we're experiencing the element. We pay attention to the feeling of the body. And then there's the feeling of weight, maybe. That's the earth element, or the property of solidity. The body is, it feels solid. It's it has weight. It takes up space. That sense of the earth element. And the feeling of heat or coolness, which is coolness just being the lack of heat, sort of thing. When, as we breathe in, the sense of coolness at the tip of the nose, as we breathe out, the sense of warmth, as the air has been warm inside the body. What we're experiencing is the, say, is an element, a property. The element of fluidity, the liquid element. We're just experiencing the body as we're meditating and practicing, the feeling of wetness in the say, in the mouth, the sort of saliva in the mouth. It's just the property of the water element, or the just we have our maybe our hands in sitting in meditation, feeling the warmth of the hands, feeling the weight of the hands, feeling that maybe they, because they're in contact, then there might be a bit of sweat there, perspiration. That's the water element. When I'm sitting in my meditation, on my meditation cushion, then I experience the air element. I have a zafu that's full of air. That's what I experience. But these are elements. So it's experiencing them as elements, identifying them as elements. So they're what are our internal experience of this body in this present moment is these elements. And what's the point of paying attention to elements? Well, the point is that just seeing it as just elements, and whether it's, say, the internal experience of elements or the external experience of elements, the world around us, this is to seeing it in its aspect of not self. This is not mine. This I am not. This is not myself. That's a stock phrase from the suttas, and beginning from the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, the discourse on non-self, that paying attention to this aspect of, oh yeah, this is just elements. This isn't. It's not mine. The feeling of and experience of solidity, lightness or heaviness, warm or cold, warm or dry, it's not mine. This I am not. This is not myself. And when it's, of course, when it's thought through like that, then it's somewhat obvious, or at least it's theoretically acceptable. But the reality is, as we get entangled in our experience of things, and we definitely take it as, this is mine, I am this, this is myself. It's hot. This is mine. I am hot. This heat is mine. I am this. This is myself. And this is miserable. This is terrible. Why is it like this? When is it going to end? Why can't it be something else? I am unsatisfied with this, with me being this way. It's all about me. And we create suffering around it, and we create problems. And we forget to experience as, this is just elements. We experience things, the water element, element of this expansion, contraction, movement, and the same thing. We take it as mine. Take it as I am this. Take it as myself. So the Buddha extends the definitions or the parameters of elements or properties. Sometimes to five, sometimes to six, including both the property of space and the property of consciousness. And so that in experimenting and investigating, using the four primary elements or material elements, it's sort of a dry run for extending it also to the elements of the of space, and particularly consciousness, in the sense of the elements of mind. Because in terms of what we really take personally, what we really take to be me, to really be self, is all the elements of consciousness and the conscious experience of things around us. And we take that very seriously to be mine. My mood, my feeling, this is what I am, this is myself, this is who I'll always be. One has a bad mood, has a unpleasant feeling, has a unskillful mental state, and we take it to be mine, and we extrapolate from around that. We judge ourselves because of that. We judge others because of that. Extend that from that. And we forget to reflect on that and investigate it with Dhamma as the basis. I'm saying, this is not self. The Buddha's been teaching this since the second discourse that he gave the first five ascetics was all, and that was the key insight that allowed those first five ascetics to awaken to realize the Dhamma. And now we totally forget it or overlook it or sort of disbelieve it or sort of maybe for others, but I'll never be able to realize that. I'll never be able to see it. Mm-hmm. So postpone it, put it off, shift it off to the realm of not possible or not feasible, not realistic for me. And of course what that does is perpetuates our suffering. Or we sort of, you know, we just get swept up in the realm of this is mine, this is what I am, this is myself. And of course that's the recipe for disaster. So to be taking the particularly the material elements and really reflecting on them, it's much clearer. And this is not self. But then once that is clear, then it's, if this is true, in the sense on the material realm, then that has to be true as well on the mental, emotional realm, level of consciousness, on the level of the mind. So that, one is giving confidence to that fundamental insight of the Buddhas of the non-self characteristic. So it's important to use these reflections, investigations, elements, and and stuff that's around us all the time. It's like we sort of as the Buddha says, whether it's internal earth element or external earth element, it is just earth element, and this is not mine, this I am not, this is not myself. So like this isn't examples. We rely on our food every day. We look forward to the food. Oh, what are we going to have tomorrow? What's going to be for the meal? Get all excited about it. Or are we trepidation around it? Worry, are we going to get what we like? Are we going to have something we don't like? Is it going to be this way? Is it going to be that way? And so, and it's just earth element. It's sort of earth, external earth element that one relies on to support the body. One eats it, chews it, swallows it, brings it into the body. It becomes internal earth element. It's used to support the body, goes through the process of digestion, and after 24 hours it turns into external earth element and is excreted. And it's just earth element. And this is not mine. This I am not. This is not myself. We rely on it. We depend on it. It's a necessary part of nature. But it either it turns into something that we worry over, obsess over, get concerned about. Look forward to, have anticipation and dread about, and that's, and it's just sort of one little example. But that's how we relate to the world around us. That's how we relate to the people we live with, the circumstances that we're in, and all it is elements, and we don't see it in the light of Dhamma. And we don't see it as this is not mine, this I am not, this is not myself. So to really take the teaching of the Buddha seriously and to be reflecting, investigating, bringing these teachings up and taking a particular, and I think that's the beauty of the teachings, is that you take a certain aspect of the teaching and start reflecting on it, investigating it, seeing how it applies and its implications. Then you start realizing, it has implications beyond that. It has it has its, as you extend it and expand that, it has that, it applies. It's like you just, in the same way that, the earth element, internal earth element, external earth element, these are all, this is anatta. But then you start, whether it's the earth element, inside, outside, near or far, coarse or refined, it's all not self. And then as you extend it to the other elements, the element of space, the element of consciousness, all the faculties of mind, internally, it's all not self. Externally, as far as the universe extends, it is the same thing. It is not self. This is not mine. This I am not. This is not myself. But it's important to really get it, to feel it, to abide in that understanding and knowledge, to really deeply reflect on it. Because otherwise we just keep skipping over these insights of the Buddha, liberating insights of the Buddha. And we take it as bits of knowledge and forget to apply it, or neglect to recognize its importance. So to be drawing these teachings inward, paying attention to the internalizing of the teaching, so that one can see that, oh yeah, this is how it applies, this is what it feels like, as we reflect on these properties of our existence. Then what arises as we do that, and how the Buddha laid it out, is that when we see that this is whether it's internal earth element or external earth element, it's all not self. What arises is a sense of disenchantment. And as we experience a quality of disenchantment, and in the sense that, the spell is broken. When we're enchanted with something, then whatever flaws are there, things that are jarring or amiss, we overlook it, and we look past it because we're enchanted with it somehow. When you're a child or something, and that kind of enchantment with a particular toy. It's like Christmas comes along, and it's you've been waiting to get a particular toy, and then Christmas Day comes along, you get the toy, you play with it, you know, either the batteries run out or it breaks in some way, or you just get bored playing with it, and then the enchantment is all gone. And you sort of have to wait for next Christmas. Work up an enchantment for something else. And that's how, you know, you think, well, yeah, that's how little kids live their life. But that's actually how adults live their life as well. Just trying to find, prop up different enchantments with different things. And it's obviously subtler or a bit more difficult to see, but it's the enchantment. And whether it's the enchantment with material things or an enchantment with the moods of the mind, the ideas, the theories, we can be just fascinated by them. And of course we don't see that, yeah, this is not mine, this I am not, this is not myself. This sense of reflecting, investigating, seeing that it's ordinariness. And then it's, oh yeah, there can be a disenchantment set in. As disenchantment establishes itself, then dispassion has an opportunity to arise. And dispassion being a quality of clarity and stability of the mind. The mind isn't moved by the way that we, you know, let's say the habit of the mind or the assumption that the mind has of something's either its attractiveness or unattractiveness. So you just know, well, this is not mine. I am not. This is not myself. It's not as if one doesn't experience the attractive or the unattractive, the liked or the disliked, the wanted or the unwanted. It's all there. But there just isn't the enchantment and the passion for it. It's, you know, why? Because it's just investing in suffering. Investing in more discontent, dissatisfaction. So that to take these, they say, the very basics of experience, how we experience ourselves, the world, these four material properties, material elements, and to take them as a basis of investigation, reflection, see how that experience is in the sense of, you know, in the material realm, what we experience of the earth element, experiencing sort of, you know, how rough or smooth, heavy or light. That which is taking up space, it inhabits space. There's a feeling of solidity. And you think, okay, this is just earth element. feeling, the feeling of fluidity, or say the moisture, the property of cohesion, what holds things together, what helps to bind things together. That sense of it, it's the water element, the property of fluidity. Sort of warmth or cool. The property of heat. And whether it's the, say, external, outside, you walk in the sun, it's warm, you go in the shade, it's cool. You're in the daytime, it's warm. Nighttime, it's cool. It's just heat, property of heat and warmth, or lack of it. The air element of, say, extension or expansion or contraction, of support, the of supporting, sort of the air element is what helps to support the movement of like the air, as air moves back and forth, as wind blowing back and forth, in the same way movement is typified, the property of movement, and it's just a property in nature. It's like the, as we meditate and breathe, the breath coming in, the breath going out. So it's just a property in nature. This is not mine. This I am not. This is not myself. And that, really seeing these properties in nature, and then recognizing that in the same way that these material properties, and it's the element of consciousness, the element of aspects of the mind. It's just aspects of the mind. And it's a simplification, but it's very helpful to have that simplification, because the tendency for many of us is to go to complication and getting entangled in that complication. And so just to be able to see. And the Buddha is, of course, the Buddha gives many doorways. I mean, it's like you think of these properties of in nature, being, say, these dhatu, there's elements, and in that kind of structure, then there's more importance placed on the material and less on the aspects of mind. But there's other structures, say like the five khandhas, where the form, feeling, perception, mental formations, consciousness. I mean, those are mostly applying to aspects of the mind. So a different way of approaching and investigating, and has different functions and purposes. But in this exploration of of elements, and it's a these properties, and it's a very helpful tool for really getting that tangible feel for not self and how it extends. Because these elements, this again, whether internal, external, near or far, coarse, refined, they're not self. And in the same way that the material is not self, so is the aspects of mind, the mental aspects. These are not self. So to and as we see that not self nature, then that gives us an opportunity to really put it down, not get entangled, not be enchanted. So in our practice as I began the talk, the sense of attending to the whole path of practice, putting attention on the aspects of our precepts, our training in virtue and moral conduct. It says you pay attention to that, you develop it. Mindfulness and meditative training, aspects of wisdom. It's an integrated path. But also, it's to really take some aspects of these teachings and really try to penetrate it. Really try to reflect deeply on it. Because that's when it opens up into the ability for relinquishment, for letting go, for really putting down the burden. And that's what we're all seeking or hoping to experience and find through this teaching, is a putting down of the burden of suffering, putting down the burden of the complications of deluded existence. And that is always accessible to us. These truths are not, the Buddha pointed them out over 2,500 years ago, they're still valid, they still apply. It's just a matter of really being able to tune into that and see that clearly. So I'll offer that for reflection this evening.
Andamayam dhammakataya sadhukaranda dhamma se
sadhu sadhu.